And welcome back, everyone, ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, to the Film Reel cast. This week, we've got a real treat, not because we've got Kelly on. That is obviously not the treat, but we've got Neil back. How are you, Neil?
Hello. Hi. I wasn't expecting that. I'd never been seen as a treat before, so thank you.
Oh, you're a treat for many people. Honestly, honestly, you're a treat for everyone, I'm sure. And we've got Countdown Kelly. How are you?
I am very well, thank you very much.
Well, it's obviously wonderful to have you back as well. And this week we're doing a film which everyone, well, I can relate to, I'm sure Neil can relate to, and it was chosen by Neil. Tell everyone, mate, what we're doing this week.
We're doing Bad Dads, which is, old dads, not old,
old dads.
Bad Dads, old dads, Christ, fucking hell. It's just going to show what I think of this film.
They're bad to a certain extent.
Bad to a degree, but no, Old Dads on Netflix, directed and starring Bill Murr. Bill Burr, in fact. What is wrong with me? Honestly, it's the 3 hours sleep I've had, I think, has started to get to me. So I apologise, everyone. You'll have to bear with me this week.
Yeah, as you said, we are doing Old Dads. Yeah, mate, 2023. Written and directed by Bill Burr, who's stand-up comedian and podcaster. This is the first film, directorial debut. He also wrote and produced and stars in the film. And it's my first, he's on show doing his stand-up routines on Netflix. And to be honest, I watched a few minutes of him. I was just like, oh, fuck this. It's just, I wasn't too impressed. I don't know if you guys have seen him in stand-up at all.
Yeah, I like him. I find him funny. But
I have not seen him, so I don't know.
He's quite anti-feminist and sort of just takes the piss out of how everything is these days. And it just, some of his stuff isn't like brilliant, but I find him fairly funny.
Yeah, I may have caught him on the wrong day, and like my wrong day when I'm in a particularly miserable mood, which wouldn't surprise anyone who knows me.
Every day.
Pretty much every day. Well, I did listen to his podcast and I did laugh at that. I thought, I'll give that a go today. I thought some of that was quite funny. So I probably will go back and just retry and just get back into him, because I don't know whether, as you said, it sounds like he's like this all the time, the point of view he comes from, where he's not very politically correct. And I do like that. Would that be his approach then, Neil?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He's just very old school, old way of thinking back in the day. And yeah, he just sort of, if something seems like it's nonsense, he'll just call it as such. So yeah, I think that's why I can relate to him. And why I think that you would probably relate to him quite well.
Yes. And I can relate to a lot of the things he says on this. And I have to say, it did make me laugh in the first few minutes. But it's good that he's doing this, because so many comedians are now doing, like Chris Tucker, Chris Rock, are doing stand-up. Obviously, Eddie Murphy from Delirious went on to 48 Hours and made a huge career. So he's kind of following suit, but he's doing it really well. The cast in this film, I really do like the cast. I mean, as I say, we've got Bill Burr, who plays Jack Kelly, and his mates, Connor Brody, played by Bobby Cannavale, and Joaquin Woodbine, who plays character Mike Richards. Their chemistry and their bond, being like an old fart like I am, I can really relate to the friendship and the chemistry between these three guys. Can you, Neil?
Oh, most certainly, yeah. Yeah, proper old mates, been mates for years, have very similar values, but just rip the shit out of each other all the time. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's great. And the conversations they have in the car, especially when they're on their road trip, I just can relate to that. As you know, I lack a filter, and I say it, and in my mind it sounds good, but to other people it doesn't sound particularly good. So I really, really could relate to a lot of the things that they were saying. And some of this I was really pissing myself. But as I said, the cast's really, really good. The friendship, like the relationships between their wives, I really enjoyed that. And that was quite realistic. The bitchiness between these wives. I mean, I don't really know many women, to be honest. All my mates are guys. I mean, Kelly, could you relate to any of this at all?
Not really, because I don't have children, but
I wasn't too sure where you're coming from that angle.
Well, as you see, I said I don't have children. However, I wouldn't want friends like some of these people because they would just piss me off and I would end up telling them. So I guess I can relate to that side of things where people are just talking bullshit and it's just absolute bollocks. But no, the kid side of it and relating to that kind of side of things, no, because I don't have them, thankfully.
No, you certainly don't. And you've got the wives, Leah Kelly, who's obviously the other half of Jack Kelly, which she's probably the most grounded, along with Brittany, who's Bokeem Woodbine's girlfriend. And the most kind of psychotic is Cara Brody, who's Connor Brody, like the wife. And she's, I do like the approaches they've got. It's all kind of very modern, like kind of millennial of let's kind of deconstruct like a tantrum and deal with it a brand new way, rather than, I'm sure, like when I was dealt with, it was a case of you just got a wallop and told to behave, or you will
Yes.
just either sit on the step or get another wallop.
No.
But I just love the fact
Yeah.
that everything's, even with a child who you can't kind of negotiate with, that they try and talk about feelings, don't they, and just break everything down,
Yeah.
and it's great. I love the different aspects of this. It's just so funny.
Okay. What is going on here? Why
Yeah,
is he
just
screaming?
because he hit Nate with a stick, and I told him to apologize.
What you're feeling now is what you're feeling, okay? Let it out.
I don't think
I
that.
don't need you to think right now, Connor. You need to respect your son's autonomy and really let him process how crossing this boundary is affecting his ever-evolving moral code.
Yeah, it's definitely a new age of parenting, isn't it? It's,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's
Fucking
really
hell.
good. But the story, for those who haven't seen this, Jack Kelly, Connor Brody, and Mike Richards are three best friends, business partners, and old dads. After agreeing to sell their throwback sports apparel company, they're excited to punch their tickets and their lives that they've dreamed of. But their company is taken over by an eccentric millennial CEO, Miles Robbins. Jack's anger boils over, creating a series of crises at home, work, and his son's ultra-progressive preschool. In the aftermath, Jack and his fellow dads must fight to win back their families and self-respect, stopping at Palm Desert Casino, strip and pole dancing club on the way to rescue what they've got. But the film starts at a garden party when you get an instant taste of the parenting style of our kind of hero, Jack Kelly. He's got everyone around there, all neighbours, and you've got his mates there, and they're all sitting and having a few beers. And it's not long until his son, Jack's son, gets injured and he gets hit by another stick. And this happens at parties. Everyone's protective of their kids, and he cuts his arm. And the parenting style, which everyone does, just rubs some dirt on it. And the kid just rubs dirt on it because you want him just to grow up and just be a man and just take it. And this geezer comes along and just, who's a neighbor, and just says, yeah, you need some kind of antiseptic cream on there.
You might want to get him checked, or at least put a little Neosporin on it or something. That thing could get infected.
Who are you?
I'm Hunter Lewis. I'm Lisa's husband. I just moved in across the street. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah? Are you a doctor? You're just like one of those WebMD guys.
This is common knowledge. You want to keep the cut clean.
Oh, is it? Well, listen, I'm trying to raise a little man here, not a fucking pussy. So I appreciate your concern, but why don't you just go back to your hard seltzer? And, you know, go on Twitter and go share this story where you're the hero.
Absolutely love it. It's what you'd always want to say to someone, but you never really have the bollocks to do because you don't want to ruin a party. But you do feel like saying, "Will you just fuck off? I'll look after my own kid in my own way, thanks." It's not like his arm's hanging off for fuck's sake. He's got a graze.
It's so funny. I just love that response. And it's great, Kels, when, as I said earlier, that the kid just goes mental. He absolutely goes mental. And it's the son of Connor Brody. And the wife comes out, and in front of everyone, he's trying to deal with it old school. And she tries to deconstruct it, doesn't she? And break it all down.
She does, and she's just, it's ridiculous because that is why kids don't listen to adults, because of people like her. They've got no control. They've got no idea what they're fucking saying. So the kid's just confused and just gets on with it. So he stands no chance of dealing with anything properly.
Yeah, and
Couldn't
it's
agree
just,
more.
yeah, and it's at a party. Everyone is watching this. And it's weird because everyone kind of, there's newfangled ways of dealing with stuff. And if you challenge it, challenge anything now, people just rip you to pieces, don't they? And it's so kind of wrapped in cotton wool. It's just, it's an awful environment to be in where you just can't challenge people. And I think you should. If everyone should have a point of view. Sometimes it's not what you want to hear. It's just like taken as being rude. But it's not. My parenting style is so different. Like, it'll be different to Neil's. Neil's isn't wrong. Mine's not wrong. But you always have an opinion. And I wouldn't criticise anyone. If they just said to me, I do this, I do that, I'd listen to them. But I certainly wouldn't listen to anyone who let their kid throw something because they want to express themselves. I mean, that's just, to me, it's lazy parenting, isn't it?
No, of course it is. It's just ignoring the problem, isn't it? And making some excuse for the fact that you haven't brought them up properly at all. You know, the fact that they feel that it's okay to throw a stick at a pregnant woman and everything else. Just, it's fucking bollocks, man. You know, there's no way that my kid would be allowed to do that. Absolutely not. Or there would be a punishment for it if they did do it.
Yeah, completely. And it's funny, from there, you've got Jack speaks to his mate Mike, and Mike's married, he's going out with Brittany, who's young, she's really attractive, and he's saying all she wants to do is, like, just fuck me and go down the gym.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's so jealous that he has such a simple lifestyle. And he says, you found a fucking unicorn. I love that expression. It's so good.
All she wants to do is fuck me and go to the gym.
God damn, Mike. Found a fucking unicorn.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? Because they're both there absolutely shattered from having kids and fucking fed up with it all. And then, he's just, like, getting to bang her every night and not have to worry about it. It's just,
I've never heard that expression. That's the dream, yeah.
That's the dream. Wow.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
Okay.
Yeah. What more is there? You know, I don't see what else. You're making it far too complicated.
No, I'm really not. It's just interesting to know the other side, I guess.
Well, what's your take on that then, from a female point of view?
Well, there's no take to have, is there? It's just interesting to know that that is the dream, that it is just to have someone who's that easily pleased.
No, it's not about that. It's men want an easy life. That's what they want. They want an uncomplicated life.
Okay, so why have children in the first place at all?
Because you get talked into it.
And Mike, that's what Mike's saying.
No, there's got to be more to it than that. You can't just be talked into it because you have to, you know. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe you can just be talked into it.
But that's what Mike's saying, though, isn't it? That he had his children and now his children are grown up. It wrecked his marriage. And now he's found Brittany, who they get on really well with, and all she wants to do is fucking go down the gym. He's got an uncomplicated life now compared to the others. And that's his dream. And that's what, when the others, and I'm sure deep down they do love their lives and getting up and going to work and kind of in that routine. But to every bloke, they would joke, like, to their mate. If their mate was like, I'm single, I've got this, I don't know, PT instructor, and I just bang her every day and we go out for meals and lovely holidays, you'd be like, fuck me, that is an amazing life you've got. Because you wouldn't look at the problems and other shit going on in their life.
No.
You just think, that's a fucking an amazing life. So it's like an expression, you know what I mean? Men just want an easy life.
Of course they do. And the fact is, you know, most dads, I can't speak for all dads, and the same with mums, once you've had your kids, you'd never not want to have them. It's just a case of life becomes very difficult when you do have them. There's lots of lovely moments, but there's lots of moments where you are literally ripping your hair out if you've got any left.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because you're hanging out your ass the whole time.
That explains why you're both bald.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
It explains why you're booking up holidays and I'm not.
This is true.
Exactly. So it's just, it's like anything, isn't it? You look at everybody else's life through rose-tinted glasses if you're having a struggle with your own. And parents will often be exhausted and just think, fuck me. You know, life would be so much easier, but you'd never be without them because you love them to bits.
Yeah, exactly. That's really well put. And these guys, we learn, used to kind of co-own together Trifica Apparel Sports Company, which has made clothing. And they've agreed. It's kind of, I don't know, it's very cloudy that they agreed to sell it. Because I get the impression that Jack wasn't really up for the idea, but Connor and Mike were more up for selling the company, and they just become like employees of their own company, don't they? Just drift in and out. But did you get that Jack seems like he didn't really want to let it go?
Yeah, no, I don't think he ever wanted to let it go. It was their baby. And, you know, because the way he says, oh, you know, what, employees of our own business and stuff like that, it's clear that he wasn't interested in selling it. And he's pretty bitter about it.
Yeah, he seems pretty sad. And I kind of understand why, because it's like they sold their soul to the devil, because we meet the owner of the company, Aspen Bell, and he's really ruthless, and he even says that I'm really kind of deconstruct his company. He doesn't care really about the product, and he instantly gets rid of about 75% of all of the staff. And it's everything that these guys don't believe in, isn't it? And they've kind of sold their soul to the devil to a certain extent now.
Oh, no, massively, because he's basically sacks everyone over the age of 35 because they're seen as old, doesn't he? And then that's it. So it's only young people can work for it. But these three obviously protected because they used to own it. So it'd be in his contracts. But it's a horrible era to live in if that's what it's going to be like.
And they're kind of out of touch because a lot of companies are doing this, aren't they? I know that Sports Direct, that people were on contracts where they could just be sacked from the following week. Mm. It does seem to be the way forward now, especially in a market where people are just numbers or less than numbers. And it's fucking really cutthroat. And these three can't argue that fact because they handed their company over and everyone they've worked with for fucking years have now lost their job. So to a certain degree, that they are responsible for all of this, aren't they? I think anyway.
I don't think that they're responsible for it. They've made a decision. They haven't just made this guy be a complete bellend. He's just that type of person, isn't he? He is a millennial that does the whole new age shit. I probably can't say that, can I?
But they never, it looks like they didn't do their research though, did they? Of who we selling the company to.
And
because normally you'd sell a company, I know it's just a film, but you'd sell a company and who are we, like, I want this company to carry on. What assurances can I get that it's going to carry on? We've been working on this for 30 years, 40 years, and I don't want it to change and it's going to go into the right hands. But they clearly haven't done any research into what this person's like or who he represents, who owns him. So I put down responsibility down to them of just pure ignorance.
Yeah, and I agree with that, to be honest. I think they just haven't done the research. They don't want, they haven't seen if they've got the same ethos and everything that they've got. And obviously the ones that really wanted to sell it have obviously just wanted to get it done quickly and not really looked into it. That's how I took it anyway, but
no, I completely agree. That's the way I took it. They can't get pissed off with this is your style of management for the staff when you've handed that style over to him. But it's weird because this is like the film we watched the other week where you get a quiet period, then it kind of kicks off again. Quiet period kicks off like the action films we've done. It gets quite sad when everyone loses their job, but instantly you get Jack who's driving down the road and these wankers on these electric scooters cut him up. And his outburst, I've done this exactly the same outburst he's had.
Yep.
Maybe not with a window open when there's two people standing by the side of the road. But what he says is amazing, isn't it?
Look at this fucking asshole. Fucking 30-year-old man riding a kid's toy right in the middle of the fucking street. Get over! What's he doing now? Is he freestyling? You making a YouTube video? Oh my God, how fucking self-involved are you?
Share the road.
Hey, I agree. So why don't you get up on the fucking sidewalk where you belong?
Oh, mate, it's so true to life, though, isn't it? Because I've definitely done stuff like this before. It's true. I have tried to curb my anger at other idiots on the road because they do frustrate the shit out of me. And I thought, if I carry on like this, I'm going to fucking have a heart attack. So I've stopped myself, but you can't help it because they are dicks.
Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting. I should imagine it was on purpose, Cal, that when he did have that outburst, that it was obviously two gay men who were standing by the side of the road that listened to that outburst who were deeply offended. That wasn't just by pure bad luck, was it?
No, because they appear to come across as very much softer than he is in their approach to life. So they would never say anything like that. So it appalls them more than the average person, I guess. They have a different outlook on things because you have to be more accepting of everybody and you know, everyone's different, so they have a different way of seeing things to him. So they are more appalled at his language and how he views the world.
Yeah, and they really accentuate that fact with by those two guys who are just so upset. And again, he's late for picking his son up. And as usual, it's piss poor planning by him. There's never any pickup places that you can park anywhere near a school at 9 in the morning, and he's late. And I do like, and this character's in, I think she's in Luther, the TV series, Rachel Harris, who plays Dr. Lois Schmickle Turner, who's very, very stuck up, who is running this school, this preschool, and it's like the best one in the area. And her recommendations from this kind of mean everything. So really, she's got so much power, hasn't she?
Oh, far too much, and she loves it. Absolutely fucking loves it.
And it's
She's
weird that
horrible.
this must happen, that people must kind of call favors in to go to these kind of schools and ask lick the staffs, because it means so much that their children kind of progress. God, I was never involved in that. It must be fucking tragic.
Would you want your kids going to a school where they're taught by people like that? Really?
They wouldn't last, to be honest.
No, I wouldn't
It
personally.
would drive me insane. I couldn't deal with them as teach. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't cope with it. I wouldn't want my kids to learn like that.
When he turns up, he's late to pick his son up, and he picks his son up, and she says, "You are late."
I'm paying you to educate my son, not me, okay?
Oh, well, we here at Little Hearts and Minds believe that education extends into the home.
Oh, do
And
you?
once again,
Fantastic.
you'd know that
I do
if
know
you'd
that.
actually picked up the guidebook and started
Jesus
going.
Christ, I read the goddamn fucking guidebook. All right, you stumpy little cunt.
In this situation, what he said is obviously extreme. Everyone's just heard the clip that who's in the right, who's in the wrong with regards to both the approaches of this?
Well, he's apologized, hasn't he? He's apologized. He said, you know, it won't happen again, blah, blah, blah. And she just keeps, she loves to goad him. But his reaction is far too severe, you know. But that's just obviously he's had a bad day and then he's getting ribbed by this woman who's just toxic. But yeah, so he shouldn't have
But
said what he said.
he didn't read the rule book though either, so he kind of deserves a little bit of a dressing down. He does deserve a little bit, nowhere near as much as she gave him, but then both their reactions are a little bit excessive.
And he drops the C bomb. And but it's brilliant when he walks away and his son asks what that means, and he says, "What does that mean?" He goes, "Somebody gives you shit for being 2 seconds late for pickup."
Which would be my response if my kid asked that.
Exactly. And he blackmails his son, which I've done, with ice cream, but we just
Like,
carry on and we don't say anything. And he just cleans his son up before he goes in the house. But in true style, like just normal dads are, he's been busted because the school have called up. And that's it. He's in the shit and he tries to style it out, but you can't, can you? Once you're in the shit with the other half, it's kind of locked in. It's guaranteed you're fucked. You're doomed.
especially when you have done something as severe as call someone a stubby little in front of every other parent at the school. There's no getting out of that one. Sorry,
No.
you're gonna have to take your medicine and just go, yeah, all right, I'm sorry. My
But
bad.
the reaction to it is, I felt sorry for him. It's so extreme. I know he dropped the C bomb. You shouldn't do that. But then he kind of goes into the office to make up for it, to meet Lois Schmickle Turner. And what he doesn't know is that she walks him through the office and into the schoolyard, and all of the parents are there. And he's got to publicly apologize, even to parents who weren't even there. And they all have their little say. And some of it is so sickening, isn't it?
So I couldn't do this. I'd be a bit like him in the sense that he's saying sorry with tongue in cheek. Because it's horrendous, isn't it? Some of the shit they come out with is ridiculous. Like, I wasn't even there, but the fact that you used that word has triggered me. And
Mr. Kelly, do you understand that using the C word is like the N word, but for women?
I'm sure it is. You know, other than the 400 years of slavery and continued systemic oppression, other than that, I think you're making a really solid point there.
Yes.
Even though I wasn't there, just knowing that language like that was used in front of the children
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The fat bloke that's like, I heard that the word stumpy and it triggered me. I'm proud of my body. And it's like, oh, fuck me. And the way he goes, well, we should have a salad bar.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. But, oh, could you imagine doing that? I can't. Could either of you two stand there and deal with that? Because I'd struggle.
Nope.
No, you'd have to just try and style it out, wouldn't you? You really, I think he does. I'd probably end up doing what he does and just try and style it out. I don't know how he kept his patience, considering he's just dropped the C-bomb on everyone. He does remarkably well. And he looks pale. And he looks, I don't know if it's intentional, but he kind of looks older when he's doing this. He looks really old and ill.
I think he is old now, though, isn't he? Well, not old, but he's, you know.
You need to be careful. How old is he? How old are you two?
Wow. Yeah, but there's being it and looking it, two different things.
That's it. Right. You don't?
Young. He looks young. Stu's fit. We all know Stu's fit.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but he's fit. You think he's 52 in this?
Wow, really?
Yeah, so I don't think he is 52. I don't know if he's 52 in real life, but he's playing someone that's like 52 or something like that.
Right, okay, yeah, and it's really, really tough, isn't it? But the problems are kind of shared out because you think, well, he thinks as well, Mike Richards, Joaquin Woodbine, has got a really easy life. Gym and sex, that's what he's got. And then Brittany, his other half, drops a bomb on him that she's pregnant and his life is just ended. I mean, he's had a vasectomy, but this leads to some of the best, like when he goes out for a drink with his mates to be reconciled. I was pissing myself watching this because this is what would happen with geezers, isn't it?
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, his line towards her was bang out of order, though. I have to say that.
Yeah.
Really, basically, you best get a test because it ain't mine. So, whoa.
I know. But you'd be thinking it. You'd have to say it. You know what I mean? You would do. You'd I would.
Think it, but potentially. Wow. If you'd you think,
say it?
I can't. I don't think I'd say it.
Yeah. I'd say it. I think this is life changing. Why? What's wrong with that?
That's harsh.
What, to say that, like, direct.
Yeah, but it doesn't work instantly for a start. And to say that as your first response to your partner who you supposedly love and your immediate reaction is you're a cheat. Fuck me, I'd tear you a new one.
Well, frankly, it's never going to happen, is it? So,
fucking tear you a new one.
Yeah, Jesus. Right. But I just think if you had, I've had a vasectomy, I had one years ago. If something happened, I'd be like, well, how? That just it doesn't make sense. But they do say to him that, you've got really strong sperm and you got a pregnant on pre-cum.
You should be proud.
Seriously, I mean, guys our age, our cum is usually, like, asthmatic, you know? But your shit's like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable, bro.
Yeah, to plow through a vasectomy with pre-cum, I mean, that's unheard of.
Come on.
That's like some Braveheart-level jizz.
Yeah, dude, you're like a black William Wallace.
Pre-cum!
Because I could imagine that would be us, definitely.
Yeah, it's so good. And then they try and convince him that kids are really, really good and that they're so much fun. And again, it just falls flat. Kids aren't fucking great fun a lot of the time. They do just make you miserable, but he knows it. And then you get the next thing. He tries to, well, an olive branch. He brings an olive tree. And this is a good thing that he's doing. And he gets massively, like, messed around by her. Because the olive tree isn't right in their ecological garden. It won't fit in. And it'll bring the wrong bugs. I mean, the teacher's just being mean now, isn't she?
Oh, she's horrible. And then she turns around and she goes, oh, it's funny that you bring a tree that's exactly the same as you.
I am impressed. But this tree is incompatible with our ecosystem. Oh. The insects that it would attract would be detrimental to all plant life here. Oh, this is a funny moment. You and I are having a
what?
I find it so apropos that you have brought the plant version of yourself.
It's horrid. She's really, really trying, and it's just a real shit thing to do. But again, they balance this off of when you've got Jack and Connor go to the gym. And regardless of the fact, I mean, I don't use the gym. I need the gym at my place of work, which is fine. But in a gym that's really busy, that the way Connor's shouting at Jack and everyone's watching and he doesn't give two fucks, does he? He's trying to motivate him to lift more weights, but it's just embarrassing, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
I can see you two doing this, though. I can see you two doing this. Yeah.
No way. I know.
That's harsh.
Yeah, no. I could.
No, I would not be that rude.
No.
At all.
Secondly, Neil would never invite me down to the gym. I'd be far too embarrassing for him. So
yeah, I don't want to be shown up. That's why.
Just be oh, look at all you that kissing ass.
No, you got no worries. The only time I get into a gym, mate, is if I got an evening cleaning job, which I fucking might need one after tonight. So I don't think there's any chance of me going to a gym. But it looks like quite a nice gym. I mean, Kelly, you go to a gym. Is this what a gym looks like inside?
Yes, some do, some don't.
Honestly,
I mean, they don't necessarily have the woman in the like 80s get up with the purple leotard and leg
warmers.
Do they
not do that?
Not so much anymore. No, not really.
So your gym you go to, do you get the women who, you get a lot of women who wear like makeup and like they're going to a nightclub now, who go to gyms, don't they? Like I've seen it on like magazines and shit like that, of the new look of this is what women do. I mean, is that true? Have you seen that yourself? That's, I mean,
it's
just
not a
mental.
New look. People just don't necessarily go to the gym to go to the gym. They go to the gym to look good and pull, which is, that's up to them.
Yeah.
But that's not a new thing.
Yeah, the gym I go to is full of them.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, full
that's
of
why
girls
you go.
Like that. It's not. It's because it's cheap. And that says something else, doesn't it, really?
Well, so they go to not actually go on machines and work hard. They walk around and peacock.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah, they do. Literally, they just walk on a treadmill in the smallest amount of clothes possible, full of makeup. Mm-hmm. Or they go onto some machine with and on the lowest weight or whatever. They literally do nothing. And
it's just to
start,
look good.
Well, yeah, it is. It's just quite frustrating as well, really.
Why me?
Are you saying you don't enjoy it at all?
It's always nice to have a little glance, but it's just frustrating when you're doing something and then they come and stand literally in front of you. So you have to turn around and look the other way. Otherwise, you look like a massive pervert. And you don't know if they're fucking recording everything, like trying to say, oh, let's see what this fat old bloke's reaction is going to be. So I just turn around.
You're not fat, mate. I've seen you. You're not fat at all.
All right, chubby. But anyway.
No, you're not even that.
You're too kind. Anyway, this older man then. And it's just, yeah, it's I don't like it, to be honest, because you're supposed to go to the gym to sweat and fucking look like a piece of shit when you're finished.
As I say, I don't do either, so I'm quite happy. But back on with this, they are trying to get a theme evening going, which is another disaster. And again, there's a massive separation between what they want, an 80s party or like a We Are the World party and stuff like that. And unbelievably, it kind of goes in the fact of one of the guys who's clearly white because he's got heritage and he's 3% from Sri Lanka. And they're just shocked. And again, these days, you can't challenge it.
Is there a reason we always have two white men dominating the discussion in this room?
Was that directed at us? Because if I'm not mistaken, you're also a white male, buddy.
Why don't you consult the results of my 23andMe test? Because the 3% of my lineage that is Sri Lankan is really not appreciating your tone in this moment. So I'm going to need you to check your privilege.
Check my privilege?
That's right. Check your privilege.
Okay. Why don't we concentrate on the silent auction?
They're just trying to do something positive, aren't they? And they get shot down. But would you say it's the way they do it? Or are these people just so anal about everything?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. Because they're not saying it to be rude or to be insulting to anyone. It's just that is how typically people have spoken about certain topics, but not necessarily in a derogatory way. But everything they say is being taken as an insult. So the people are being too anal. It is ridiculous. But that is how things are now. You can't have an opinion on anything. Mm. You can't say anything. You can't do anything without someone getting offended by it, which is not my problem. You can choose to be offended by it, but that's tough. That's my opinion. But it is the way the world is now. You cannot have a different opinion to the people who are very woke.
Extreme in their views.
I was very careful with that.
Yeah. Well done, to be fair.
Thank you.
But it's true, we live in a society now where we just can't say anything because you're going to get absolutely fucking rinsed for it. And it's ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
No, I completely agree. And it's quite funny because they do kind of flip reverse it when they're on their road trip because they're told that celebrities, and he's quite right, you get celebrities who don't want to be on social media. So they'll post on social media that fact just to see how many people view it, which is so true. And when you think about that, it's ridiculous if that's what they're doing. So they've said, well, let's flip this to find someone who is a no one. Someone who doesn't even know they want to be famous and avoids it and make them famous because of it, which I do like that concept. And they get C. Thomas Howe, who plays Ed Cameron. And this actor's been in Southlands, he's been obliterated. He's really good. Usually he plays an off-the-wall weirdo. Have you anyone seen Obliterated at all on Netflix?
No, I haven't
Nope.
actually, no.
Absolutely brilliant. It's really, really funny. I think it's an 8-part series where he and a team of people take out some terrorists, and they realize that after they have party about it and they get drunk and they get off their face on drugs, that there is a nuclear bomb still. And whilst they're off their face on drugs, the whole team then try and find out where the terrorists are to take out the actual nuke. And they do it whilst off their tits. And it's called Obliterate on Netflix. And they've superimposed, I think they have, you must view it, two of the biggest Corys in the world. One on a stripper and one on the one of the main characters who gets tortured down his urethra. And it's
Nice.
so
Wow.
funny that I mean I showed you the clip, Kel, didn't I? You've seen
I was
that
going to say, is
clipper?
this the one that you showed me? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that was because I remember you falling off your seat and your jaw hit the floor at the same time when I showed you the video of him spray canning with cream all the way down the shaft of his penis, which is like fucking enormous.
It was a little bit ridiculous.
About to get cleaning
No,
aisle number
that.
three after you watch
No, it wasn't a turn on. That would have just been painful.
that. But he's in that and he's absolutely brilliant. And they go on a road trip, and it's so funny the road trip because they are joined by Travis Romey, played by Justin Miles. And Travis is like the right hand man, but a complete loser. And he's used and abused by Aspen. And he agrees to go on the trip. And they talk about music and he's up to date with everything. And he gets called out by Mike when they talk about NWA and rap.
You like to sing along to them in the car?
Yeah, I rap to them sometimes, yeah.
What do you do when they drop the N-word? You keep singing along?
No, I listen.
You're by yourself. Windows are up. Cruising down the highway, you're feeling it. You telling me that you stop your flow?
I do.
Bullshit, motherfucker. Nobody could. It's NWA. I thought you said you loved them.
I do.
Do you love them?
Yes, I do.
And you stop your flow?
No, I say it.
And they make him sing straight out of Compton, don't they?
Yeah, but he deserves this.
Oh,
He
100%.
deserves it, doesn't he, for his bullshit. You know, it's just three blokes, and all right, if you agree with it or not, I don't know if Kelly was offended by their conversation. I can't imagine she was, but I can't speak for her. But you know, they're just three blokes having a fucking stupid talk about who'd bang.
Yeah, the Sam
And
Fox conversation and everything, yeah.
yeah, and then he's like, oh, you shouldn't talk about women like this, blah blah blah. So
Yeah.
yeah, they fucking own him, and it's brilliant.
It is great, isn't it? They get him because what's said in the car stays in the car. You can challenge it if you don't agree with it. If it's really, really bad, fair enough, do it. But when guys are just having a normal conversation, just go with it. It's in the car, it's a safe environment, which should be. And yeah, he gets called out massively, and it's just absolutely brilliant. Then they accidentally run an armadillo over and come across Ed Cameron, and this is where they think they've struck gold, don't they? Because they come back with this star who everyone's been looking for, who they can't find. And when they get him back at work, because if he hit the armadillo, the insurance company paid the tape. There's a hidden camera in it, and that's when they all get fired.
Did you set that camera up, you fucking snitch?
Whoa, no.
Trav had nothing to do with this, okay? This came straight from the rental car company. They sent it to us in exchange for all of our users' personal information.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's an information economy.
Due to them talking about, is it Caitlin? Is it Caitlin? I can't. Jenna?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Yeah, the conversation's there. So they all lose their job and they all lose all of their kind of stocks in the company. So they're completely broke. And it's weird. It's just a very sneaky way of doing it, isn't it?
That's horrible. It's horrible, but you could see it happening, couldn't you?
Oh, 100%.
I know this is quite extreme in the way they've done it, but you can imagine that, you know, there are people, companies or people out there this fucking snidey that would do it.
Oh, yeah. To get rid of someone, to any lengths they go to. I mean, Aspen Bell also looks at Travis's TV. He hacks into his TV in his own apartment and he's singing rap songs. And he drops the N-bomb on his own, singing to a rap song with the lyrics, and he gets a sack because of that. And he gets his comeuppance in the end, but it's just so sneaky. And then next, you've got Kara, who her method of parenting kind of really, really hits home when her son smacks Leah, who's pregnant, in the stomach. And she doesn't even say anything, does she?
He's 5 years old, Leah. He doesn't know any better. Don't you think he should? Are you calling me a bad mother? You could say I think your parenting techniques are interesting. Home birth, no epidural, 4% body fat. The proof is in the pudding. Maybe if you occasionally ate some of that pudding, you wouldn't sweat your tits off.
I can't believe that any parent would actually do this. I'd love to think that this is an extreme piss take on this situation, would you?
I fucking hope so. Because if, you know, you don't hit a pregnant woman ever, even a kid or what, just no. And if they did, then you fucking challenge them on it, don't you? You tell them off. The fact that she's just like, oh no, well, he's just expressing himself. Fuck off.
Yeah, it's so extreme. You just like to think it wouldn't happen. And things get worse because of the argument between Kara and Leah. Talk about the parenting. Then for some reason, I should imagine this is only driven by Connor, his missus, that him and Jack then stop being friends, don't they? She's obviously told him, you can't be friends with Jack. Yes. And then he takes it. Yeah. And you learn that the extreme extent, Kells, of what a pussy is, don't you?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. She's clearly wears the trousers and has told him you're not allowed to because of that altercation. But he knows what's right and what's wrong. He just, like, needs to grow a pair and tell her.
But it was extreme and stupid, I thought, that he's in the toilet under candlelight writing a note to him. That, to me, I know it's done for the narration, to show that Mike now is in like an insurance company and he's doing this, and it kind of narrates to the audience. Mm. But it was too extreme for me. It was ridiculous. Surely that just wouldn't happen. That was just a scene for me that wasn't needed.
I found it funny. It went to show how under the thumb he was, in the sense of how abusive she was towards him and how fucking pathetic he was as a man that he can't stand up to her.
Yeah,
I
get that. It's weird, but they kind of now change direction of all of their lives, quite diminished of any pride or excitement or fun, because we next see Jack kind of leading the auction at the school, whereas now it's a non-theme. The theme is non-theme. And he's auctioning various things off, and he gets fucked over because he's putting so much effort into spending 2 hours auctioning off with the actual head teacher, with Lois Schmickler-Turner, that he ends up paying the money himself, the $3,000, which cripples him, and she knows it. And when I first watched this, I honestly thought that they were going to kind of break bread, and she'd say, do you know what? I know what you were trying to do, and for the sake of the school, we learn why she doesn't in the end, that it's just null and void. Did any of you think that at all? Or was that just me being naive and wishful?
No, I never thought she was going to be nice. You knew she was always going to cunt him off. She was never going to be, because she knows what power she's got, and she is someone who revels in that. And she knows the more she pushes him, the more likely he is to react. And that's exactly what happened.
Completely agree with Kelly. She was never going to be nice. She's just a horrible bitch, and she loves the fact that she's got him in her pocket after what she did, after what he did. And he's trying to do everything he can just to get her to write a good review for her son so he can go to a private school, which he can't afford. And even though he said that to his missus because he's lost his job, she's like, well, he's going to private school, whether you like it or not. And he's just under so much pressure that he's trying to do everything. And she's not going to let it slide because she's just a horrible bitch.
Mm. Yeah, and it gets kind of worse because he gets called out by her. Then he reacts in the way that he normally does. And again, what's at stake is his son and his son's position in the school. And then his missus, Leah, comes in like a fucking wrecking ball and just says, like, you've done it again. This is it. You've fucked everything up. He has an outburst at everyone in the school. And he's right, to be honest.
What did you say to her?
I didn't do anything. She came over here. She started twisting the knife, Leah.
What did you say to her?
Of course, of course. What did I say? What did Jack say? Can you ever be in my corner, Leah? Huh? I just dropped $3,000 that we don't have to spend 2 hours with that fucking egomaniac, and you come over with what did Jack say? You know what I said? I just said what everybody here is already thinking, but doesn't have the fucking balls to say.
What he says to everyone in the school is that you're all a bunch of fucking losers. You're living basically a false life just for the sake of the position of what your children might have and just ass licking the teacher, which is no way to live. But he's an outcast because of it. And it's a real fucking sad state of affairs, isn't it?
Yeah, but unfortunately, there are a lot of people now that are like this, and it's only going that way.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Everyone just kisses each other's asses to get further in life than just being honest and actually being decent human fucking beings. But there you go.
That gets you nowhere.
No, it doesn't. And but the older you get, the less fucks you give and you're more honest. So I can kind of share Bill Burr's sentiments, because you do give real less fucks about what people think.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes again from this lull up to more comedy, where he's been kicked out for the night. He goes to see Leah and she's like, just fuck off, get out of the house. And he spends the night in a motel, where rightly so, he's smoking a cigar on the balcony. And this geezer walks along, tells him to stop smoking, whilst he's got loads of smoke from his vape coming out of his mouth. Again, I'm on fucking Bill Burr's side on this, because it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, what right has he got to him to stop smoking?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's hilarious. I just love it. And that fat, weird creature that's living across the way.
She's brilliant.
She is,
isn't she? She's fantastic. I love her. She's a treat for the eyes and ears.
Oh, she's definitely. But when she agrees with him and then starts saying about the immigrants, he's like, oh, I've lost this argument already. I won and lost in one sentence.
It was the look on his face, wasn't it? You'll back me up about this. Then she says, yeah. And he's like, see, told you. And then, yeah, as you said, mate, that she just destroys any goodness or sentiment in that comment that she's made, because she's disgusting. She sits there and farts and burps and, oh, she's foul. She really, really is. But it made for a really, really good scene. And at the same time, Mike's relationship with Brittany's breaking down. That everyone's relationship, coincidentally, the way the arc goes in this, is just breaking down and no one's happy at all. And you get Jack in the sandwich shop and he's eating and life is pretty shit. And he looks up and Mike's there as well. And he's just having a sandwich. And it's really a coincidence. It's a lovely little tie-up of where we are. The finish of kind of act two, relationships broken, and then we get onto the final act of how can we fix it. But it's, to be honest, at the moment, it is working for me. I don't know what you guys think.
No, I love it. I think it's hilarious in the sense that they've hit this low and they've just all come back together. But it's working for me.
And do you think this low is because of the behaviour, all because of the behaviour of Jack Kelly? Or do you think it's kicked off from the behaviour of the fact that they sold their company, the catalyst for this? Where do you both come from?
Well, it all, I guess, comes from selling the company to the wrong person. Because if they'd have sold it to the correct people, they wouldn't lose their job. People wouldn't have been fired. They wouldn't be broke. I can't guarantee that he wouldn't have told the teacher what he thought of her, or that Mike wouldn't have said the wrong thing to his missus when she said she was pregnant. So things may well have still gone wrong. But the catalyst in this story, I reckon, is them selling the company to the wrong person and trying to ignore the fact that the world has moved on and you can't have the attitude that they have and get on in life.
What about yourself, Neil?
No, I think that's pretty well put, to be fair. But yeah, I think you're right. It does start with that, but obviously it sort of shit rolls downhill, doesn't it? So their relationships all start going downhill and everything else like that. I think you're right. A lot of these events would have happened either way. But Jack's downfall was, you know, blatantly been the fact that he's lost his job and everything else, and that's just put more strain on him. So whatever self-control he had has just completely gone.
Well, he's now got absolutely nothing to lose, literally.
No. Exactly.
And I think that's a good position. In a way, that's probably the best position for him, isn't it, at the moment?
I think he would disagree.
Yeah.
Because what's he got to lose? All he can do from here is repair it and build it up again. It can't get any worse.
That's I think it got worse before it got better.
Yeah,
because he still fucks up at the end.
He could have made some more bad decisions coming towards the end of this film.
Well, he makes possibly what is an interesting decision, because the three of them, whilst their mate Connor is coked out of his head, decide to go to Las Vegas. But because Jack's driving, he gets a numb foot. They come off and they go to Palm Desert casinos. And you think that, I thought it was going to go in the direction of the fact that they're going to lose loads of money and it will get worse and they're all broke. They've lost their jobs. They've got fuck all. And that's where I thought it was going to go. And they do meet Aspin Bell. And was he going to get sacked and he's on his last warning for his conduct? Was that what he was doing there?
I think he's been sacked, hasn't he? So he's now there crying about it.
Right. I couldn't quite work it out what was actually happening. And I thought they were going to lose their money, but all of them decide to go to a strip club, which I really, really didn't expect. And I thought they were going to waste... I didn't know what it was going to happen. I thought they were going to waste their money on like strippers and pole dancers and the money was going to go, or it was going to be a large fight, or I didn't know what was going to happen. Did you, Neil?
No, I didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously pleased about the location, but other than that, I didn't know what was going to happen.
It was weird. Why did they go to a strip club?
Because they're sad and lonely and just want some tits to make them feel better.
So, I mean, Kels, what do you think?
I don't disagree with Neil's explanation, to be honest with you. That is, none of them were getting on well in their relationship. They had not had any attention for a while. They wanted to make themselves feel better. So I'm pretty sure a lot of people probably do turn to that kind of thing to, yeah, make themselves happy.
Yeah, and it's weird because I do like the scene before that when you've got Mike, who's about to gamble lots of money, and Jack talks him out of it, and he says, I've got nothing really going for me, and I've got to be lucky sometime. And then he highlights various people. There's that woman who's walking around with the oxygen tank who can't breathe, and like, she thinks she's lucky. For me, that was possibly one of the best scenes in this film, because the sentiment and the message it brought, I thought, was really, really good. It worked just so well that you think shit's bad, but there's always someone worse. You just got to put it in perspective. And interestingly enough, that's when they see Aspin Bell. And I just love that scene. I thought that was great. I just wanted to know, because when I watch this, do you do like a percentage for a pair of boobs, or is it pennies in there?
Oh my God.
We didn't actually discuss this, did we?
Are you actually asking that question? Wow.
If there's a rule, you've got to take rules serious, Cal.
Okay, my bad.
I don't know. I think, obviously, you know, they always enhance my view and experience. And if a film is particularly poor, then it might get an extra point. And if it's poor and they don't have it, it might lose a point, because it could have made the film better.
It loses a point for not having boobs.
If it's a bad film. So if it's a bad film and then I see a pair of boobs to cheer me up, it might get an extra point.
Yeah. There you go. Boobs but cheer people up.
They do. They do. I any man that likes boobs says that they don't cheer him up is a liar. End of story. Yes. It's true, isn't it, Stu?
Yeah, we're very honest on the podcast here. Exactly. We don't kind of say things just for effect. It's absolutely true. And yeah, that's what does actually happen. I'm sure if it was people in the gym, Cal, wearing who were very athletic males with lovely bodies and bottoms, that you'd enjoy that and that would be a pleasurable experience for you. But it just happens that, I mean, next week we can do a film catering for that. I mean, we can do the second 50 Shades film, because I know the enjoyment you got from the first one.
Oh, God, no. No, I'm not watching that film. No,
please don't make me do that.
No, I'm not watching that film. Don't do it to me.
But going back to the point of scoring, this, if I enjoy a film and it doesn't need titillation to make it better, then, or if it's a horror film, it has to have them in. It won't sway my score.
No, it's a very interesting fact. I think it needs to be spoken about, because, say, after all, it is a serious podcast.
That's it. Thank you for bringing it up. Stu. No, I appreciate
not a problem,
that,
mate. Not a problem. And some egos are deflated, some are boosted whilst they're in the strip club. You've got Hella Mike, and he becomes suddenly a pimp and like a fucking superstar in there. It's probably because he's chucking his money around like it's going out of fashion. And then you've got Connor, who is so vain, wants to be young, and then gets called out by what his neck looks like by the stripper, which destroys him totally, doesn't it?
How old do you think I am?
49.
What? How do you know that?
The neck.
Yeah, it does. Bless him. How can you tell? It's your neck. And then he's just there for the rest of the night, touching his neck.
Yeah, it's
Talking about
so funny.
Great he used to be. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, and their private dances are all different. You've got Jack, who has a private dance, where all he's doing is just sitting there talking about his woes and problems. And that girl is gyrating, thrusting in front of him. And he's not paying any attention whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, strip clubs. Neil, have you been into a strip club and had a private dance in a strip club?
I have indeed, yes.
And was that paid for you by yourself, or was that like a mate going, he'll do it?
Both.
And was one of them more awkward than the other, or neither was awkward? You're a confident
really,
person.
I had tits and ass in my face. I just had a good time.
Do you know, it's weird. I went to, I can't remember where it was now, someplace in London. And I've been in there twice. And the second time, there was a group of us. And I think it was like 50-50 males and females. And I got a dance paid for me. And I didn't know it was coming. And the lady just said, look, you've got a dance. And I was like, no, you're all good. And it was paid for by one of the females in the group. And I've got to be honest, I found it, because I didn't want one, I wasn't bothered. I found it really awkward and uncomfortable as to what I have to do. And knowing that she didn't want to dance in front of me and it's been paid for, it was like one of those things, you've got the money, let's just not bother doing this. What's the point? And it is just really weird, uncomfortable feeling. I didn't think I'd be like that.
I don't know though, because that's their job at the end of the day. You know, they are strippers. Their vocation is to take their clothes off and to titillate. That was hard for me to say.
You said it very well.
So, yeah, I don't agree with that. It's not awkward for them. That's what they do.
No, it's awkward for me. Like. I felt awkward. And
but it's not that they wouldn't have wanted to take their clothes off in front of you. That's what they do. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just sit there, put your hands down and just enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt really, really awkward. I just knew that someone paid for it. And I think that's what took the shine off. You know what I mean? And I just didn't like that. I mean, Kel, have you gone into a strip club before?
Are you really going there? Yes, I've been into a strip club before. Yes,
and,
I have.
And would you pay for a private dance?
I wouldn't.
Do they do male strip clubs? Is there just...
Wouldn't want some bloke gyrating his junk in my face. No, thank you.
Apart from like the Chippendales and those kind of things.
Do they do male
strip clubs just for females?
No, you can get it, but it's just not... It's less common, but you can get it, yes. But I don't want to. And I've never wanted to. It would just be horrendous. No, I don't want some random man's junk in my face. No, thank you.
No, it's just interesting. I mean, obviously, me and Neil spoke about it. You're on here as well. I'm not going to avoid that subject with you. I mean, you may have been in it. A male strip club fucking loads of times. I really don't know. It might just be your bag. So
all inclusive.
I've only actually been in female strip clubs. I haven't been in ones that necessarily cater for women to have the dances done for them. No.
So you went in female strip clubs with your mates who were blokes and you were just catering for them?
Well, blokes and women, but yes.
So if, interestingly, okay, we'll look at it the other direction. If your mates then paid for you to have a private dance of a female in a club, would you just say no?
Yeah.
That's really weird. I just felt really uncomfortable. And I think when men dance erotically, like the Chippendales, I think they look stupid because I don't think men can dance sexy when they're strippers. They just may as well stand there, get their massive cock out that's got an elastic band around the shaft to make it look bigger and just do whatever they want to do. It's stupid when they're a cowboy or a fireman or a policeman or a sailor. It just looks fucking ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, I can't. I could be honest. I've never really seen one. I've seen the sort of tropey, the way they sort of portrayed, like in films and stuff like that. But I've never actually seen one. I've never seen the Chippendales or anything. So.
No, it doesn't. I don't like any of that shit. It's weird to me. It really is. I'd rather go out. If you're going to pull someone, you pull someone and just do it the old school way rather than just do that. So, plus, I'm tired. I don't mind a quid in a pint glass and going round. That'll do me. Anything more than a quid,
Fucking hell.
I don't want to know. Fair
Cheap
enough.
date. Yeah.
I am. Yeah, you don't have to worry
I'd just
about
like to
that.
point out I don't just frequent these clubs.
Are you sure?
No?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I've only been to a handful, if that.
Okay.
You
Okay.
definitely sounded like you had experience.
You did
No, I've
sound
been to a
very
few. I've been
experienced.
to a few. When, on my stag do, we went to about five. That was a very nudie night. And obviously, I didn't have to pay for any of it. And yeah, and then I've been to Prague as well, which was basically that was for a stag do as well. So that's the only times I've been in them.
Excellent. I love the way you need to clarify that. I think that's amazing.
Well, I seem to have too much, you know. You're really like, oh no, I don't like it. And then I'm like, yeah, titties. Made me sound really fucking bad. Everyone's
Yes, man.
different.
The Ron Jeremy of the film reel cast talking.
Hey, you said I
Amazing.
wasn't fat.
No, but you love women, so. But things can get worse. They escape the strip club after having a fight because they do find out that Leah is about to give birth, so they must get there in time. That's the emergency. He promised he would be there for the birth of his child. But Richie, the cab driver, it's a massive kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm, this moment, if anyone's seen that series. And this taxi driver is Bill Burr when he's older.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He comes up with the scooter comment, and it's a moment of, if I carry on, this is what I'm going to end up like. And it's kind of shoved down your throat, but I think it's done really, really well. It's for the audience to see. It's very simple. And they get on electric scooters, which he's hated. And he finds out that it is good fun. And he can be free and escape and just not stop at stop signs. And for me, I was smiling watching this. I thought it was quite a nice moment.
No, definitely. It's that realization, you know, because it's just that thing, isn't it? If he sees himself older and he goes, fuck me, if I don't stop this is exactly what I'm going to be like at that age, a miserable old git on his own,
Yeah,
you
and
know, no friends, no family. And then, yeah, the
yeah,
enjoyment of
it was like
experiencing
Scrooge,
something
wasn't
new.
it?
Yeah, definitely. It's simple, but it worked.
I quite liked it because you realize you can do things differently, but change is good. So roll with the punches and you might actually enjoy it. And I think it worked well.
Yeah, completely. It was nice, and it was good to see him after all the shit he's been through actually have a little bit of fun. And they do make it to the hospital, but I thought he was going to make the birth. I honestly thought he was. Did you?
I hoped he would, but alas, he didn't.
No, and I'd never thought you were going to go there, Kel.
I don't know. I think it kind of shows that he did continue to make bad decisions and now he's really fucked up. So maybe this, like, because he's missed something that he can never get back. He can't change it. He can never do anything. So he really needs to sort his shit out to grow up and deal with it rather than just run away from it all.
What did you think of the way that they tied this up? Because obviously he does give his speech when he's birth about everything he's failed at and that he should be doing more. And then you've got Mike and Brittany. He proposes to her, and obviously it's not the right place to do it, but their relationship is kind of back on track again. And you get the opposite, really. You get Connor and Cara, who's outside, and he just like, it's brilliant when he says that you're cold, and she says, do you think I'm cold? He says, I can actually hear the East German national anthem every time you open your legs. It's a fucking brilliant line. It really, really is, isn't it? And he's happy.
Yeah, I think his one is the most extreme though, isn't it? Because
Yeah.
it isn't just a subtle look, you know, could you lighten up a bit, and, you know, and I like the would a blowjob kill you once in a while and that type of stuff. But he does go fucking from absolute pussy to extreme. I think
Yeah.
his was a
It's.
bit more unbelievable.
I'm just so sick of your fucking excuses.
It's not an excuse, Kara. I'm in actual fucking pain, which is something you can't relate to because you block it out with your cold reptilian mindset.
You think I'm cold?
Babe, when you open your legs, I can actually hear the East German national anthem. Oh. Finally! Billy a little fucking emotion.
Yeah, and that guy walks past and kind of fist pumps him, doesn't he? He agrees with him. His street jargon, he's got it right for once.
Yeah.
And that's just what means more than anything. And we kind of go full circle. And I do like the way they do wrap this up, that he's playing the way it started, kind of catch ball with his son, and the guy walks past and he's very calm the way he deals with stuff. And that, and he goes to public school, his son, doesn't he, in the end?
Yes.
And things are back on track. And you learn that the doctor, Lois Schmickle-Turner, was embezzling money from the school and that she got arrested. And everything just kind of ties up nice and neat, and it's not over the top. And I love the way this film just winds up. It's just, it's done well, and it's quite comedic at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant, especially the ending when he's obviously talking about it and a guy on the scooter completely fucking wipes himself out
on
the bin and stuff like that. And on the guy, because he's playing catch with his new baby, isn't he? And the guy on the bike turns around, are you sure you should be doing that? And rather than just going off the handle, like most people would, like, fuck your own, mind your own fucking business. He's like, oh, thank you. I didn't think about that. Have a nice day. And then as soon as he disappears, he goes, fucking prick, or something like that.
It was great. And it was a weird decision that Ed Cameron, the guy walking through the desert, that he got a save the date card posted out to everyone. She's marrying Rob. I didn't expect that. That came out of nowhere, to be honest.
Yeah. I think that's just a bit of stupid tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? Sort of thing. Because when he first sees him, he goes, you're not a bunch of fags, are you? Doesn't he?
Oh, that's right.
He obviously ends up being gay anyway. So it's, and
And they get trifecta. Do they get it back? They sue and get their company back because of age discrimination, don't they? And they show like the newspaper article of them standing outside of trifecta again.
I think they get the money, don't they, or something like that? They get their money back. I don't think they get their company, but they get money for it. So they're now set, so they don't have to worry about working until they're like 85.
Yeah, cause it says Connor blew the money on a neck lift.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. But yeah, I thought it was really, really nicely wrapped up, and I was really pleasantly surprised. I mean, Kells, I'd like to go to you first. I mean, Old Dads 2023, currently shown on Netflix. Tell us about it.
I thought it was good. There was some bits of it that I could relate to, despite not being an old dad or having children. But I found it quite funny because it was quite realistic, and there are people like that around. So yeah, I would say it's worth a watch.
What would you score it out of 5?
I'll go 2.5. It wasn't great, but it wasn't awful.
Would you recommend this to anyone? Would you recommend it to other females? What's the audience for this from your point of view?
I would say no, it's more for older dads like yourselves, because I imagine there's a lot more that you can relate to it. And it's probably quite realistic for some people to sort of, they can see themselves in these situations and thinking these things, but not having the balls to say them out loud because they know how to read a room and realise it's the wrong place to do that. I would suggest it's not a chick flick. It's not necessarily something that I would recommend to my lady friends. I would say for my guy friends more than anything.
Yeah, fair enough. Neil, what about yourself, mate?
I love this film. I think it's brilliant. I think it's really well done. I have to kind of agree with Kelly about the audience, to be fair. I didn't really think about that, so that was a good question. I think it's more for sort of married people with kids and stuff like that. I don't think sort of, not saying they wouldn't understand it, but it probably isn't sort of an audience for single people or people that don't have children, or like Kel just said, just women. Like single girls or whatever, but for me it's I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I could happily watch this over and over again. I'd give it 5 stars for me.
Oh wow,
I have to say, yeah, I loved it. I just resonated with it because a lot of the stuff I see that I've done myself, and you then have a realization like, fuck me, you know, you see someone else, and you know, there's just a lot of things that have resonated with me, like sort of my mates and stuff like that. And it was just like, I was almost looking at myself at certain parts of this film, and it was just made me laugh. So I love it. Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, I echo what both of you say. I think it's a very, very funny film, and I was pleasantly surprised. I love the direct way he talks to people, and I can really, really relate to that. That's just me. I could see a lot of myself in this guy. It was just brilliant. It really, really was. And the way it wrapped up, it was much better than I thought it would be. I thought the chemistry between all of them was great. And being, it's like the in-betweeners when you're younger and they're mates, you can kind of really relate to the way you were at school and just like messing each other about, taking the piss and the subject and the content of it all. And again, as you get older, these guys in the car, I can imagine even us three just being in a car going on a journey, this would be the kind of conversation we have, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
It
Yeah,
just
we'd
brought
lose our
back.
jobs quicker than that.
Oh, God, yeah. It just,
Yeah, we would. Yeah.
yeah.
Just no question.
Yeah. We're
But
taking,
it's great. I'd give this probably about 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was really, really good fun. I'd watch it again. I'd recommend it. Like you both said, to my mates with children who are like my age would certainly get this, and they'd certainly get the comedy. But yeah, it was nice because it'd probably be a film that I wouldn't have watched otherwise, which is why I love another reason why I love doing the podcast, because you just get to watch films that you just don't ever really, really watch. So, but that is it. That is Old Dad's 2023, currently shown on Netflix in the UK. Check it out. It's really good. And check out everything we've got on our back content. We've got Under Siege 2, Fall. There's so much. There's nearly 300 podcasts. So there's definitely something for everyone, unless you're a really, really picky bastard. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. And everyone, just take care.
Well, that's another podcast recorded, and I hope you enjoyed that. All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience, and any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.